I'm done doubting Russell Wilson. But his ability to stay calm and lead drive, whether it's week two or the playoffs or the Super Bowl, he always puts them in a position to be successful.
And Russell takes the snap, drops back. He's going to throw down the middle. He's got a man. The ball is caught.
Game over, baby.
Touchdown. The game is over. The Seahawks are going back to the Super Bowl.
This is Hawks Talk.
Good morning, Seahawk fans, and welcome into another edition of Hawks Talk here on CSN. As always, I am your host, Joel Gunderson, coming to you on a Tuesday morning this week as the Seahawks received the Monday Night Football treatment last night for the first time this season. And what a bizarre, oftentimes head-scratching game this was. Seattle was taking on a Buffalo Bills team that was dead last in the NFL in passing yards per game. Now, keep that in mind. Dead last, as in worse than the San Francisco 49ers, worse than the Cleveland Browns. But from the moment this game kicked off, it was evident that things were going to be off kilter. Seattle went 3-and-out on their opening possession, promptly had their punt blocked, and one play later, Tyrod Taylor, the Buffalo Bills quarterback, was in the end zone. Buffalo's up 7-0. Before you could even blink, this game was turned on its head. Now, the teams would essentially go score for score for the better part of the first half. Both of these teams entered the game with some confidence on defense, so the first half especially was a real surprise, thanks in large part to two one-handed touchdown catches from Jimmy Graham. Both of those you have to really see to believe. The Seahawks, who had scored a combined 26 points the previous two games, led 28-17 at the half. But as welcome as a surprise as their offense was, their defense was just as disconcerting. Taylor, who is known for his legs as much as his arm, was finding pockets in the Seattle zone defense all game long, over the middle, out in the flat, down the seams, on dump-offs to LeSean McCoy. The Bills played a nearly flawless style of offensive football, and it was exactly what teams need to do in order to take down a defense like the Seahawks, which is so aggressive. They didn't try and do anything too extravagant. They took what the defense gave them, and they wore down Seattle with small chunks of yardage. Now, they were especially effective on this in the first half. In the second half, we'll get to it a little bit, but they really kind of went away from their game plan, and Seattle's defense up front, the front seven especially, became a lot more aggressive, and the secondary really buckled down on what they were doing. Seattle's defense, they found their traction, and it started off with a really crucial Richard Sherman pick. But the Buffalo defense as well, they also became a lot stingier in the second half. So as much as his first half was a real offensive explosion, I mean, 28-17 for these two teams, Seattle came in averaging 18 points a game. Buffalo was not much better. So for them to put up a combined 45 points at halftime was really surprising and not something you see a lot on these Monday night games. A lot of times, these ones will end up being lower scoring even than what teams were expected to do because a little bit longer layoff, teams are a little bit rustier, but these guys actually went out and did the opposite of what we were expecting. Now, eventually, as it's seemingly been the case quite a bit this season, the game would come down to one final drive, and that, like I said, that hasn't been a very common thing with Seattle so far. With 3 minutes to go, Buffalo had the ball just 60 yards to go, down by six. They only needed a touchdown to win the game. Now, Tyrod Taylor, as I mentioned, would end up having a really big game, would hit Robert Woods for a huge third down conversion on the drive. Woods had a big game as well, 10 catches. And Seattle committed really two boneheaded penalties on the final drive of the game, which is really bizarre for their defense, which through ups and downs over the last few years has been very disciplined. They would actually commit two penalties on a three-play span. The first of which, on the Robert Woods catch, they actually had a late hit. There was two penalties. They only accepted one, but they had a late hit on Taylor from Bobby Wagner. And then a couple plays later, they would have an offsides penalty, giving Buffalo even 5 yards further. Eventually, Buffalo had it first and goal with less than a minute to go, and things really started to look sour because all game long they had moved the ball. And just like that, 50 seconds to go, Buffalo's got it within 10 yards to go to win the game. Now, last week on CSN, I posted my not quite midseason awards list, which I thought would be a really fun way to look at what's been going on for the season. And in it, I named the defensive MVP so far of the season from my perspective. Now, it could have gone to a number of players. One man that really could have been at the top of the list that didn't win it was Cliff Averill. Now, he's been especially huge the last few weeks as injuries have piled up. And last night, his value really shone through. He had a huge sack of Taylor on that final drive, which essentially ended the game. It put Buffalo in, I believe, a 3rd-and-21 from the goal line. 3rd-and-goal, but it was like, I believe they had 21 yards to go. And that pretty much put all the threat of Buffalo getting it in the end zone out of the way. And on 4th down, it would be an incomplete pass. So Seattle would force a turnover on downs. They survived the game, which, with their 11th straight win on a Monday night. And when you play a Monday night game, especially against a tricky team like Buffalo, all you're looking to really do is survive in advance and get a win. And that's what Seattle was able to do. And in that list last week, I named Bobby Wagner as the defensive MVP of the team. And it looks like it was a good call. He finished with 16 tackles on the night. He was everywhere. He had 8 solo tackles, a half a sack. But it's the controlled yet somewhat reckless abandon that he's playing with right now that is so incredibly fun to watch. And Wagner's really coming into his own, which is important because Seattle came into this game really dinged up. Michael Bennett was out. Cam Chancellor was out. Thomas Rawls, Luke Wilson, just a few of the players. Those guys didn't suit up, and they especially missed Chancellor on a night like this because Tyrod Taylor is one of the most dangerous scramblers in all of football. Especially with Russell Wilson having been so dinged up, he might have taken the reins as the most dangerous player when it comes to using his feet to scramble and buy himself time. And on multiple occasions, he did find himself downfield making things happen last night. Taylor would finish with 43 yards rushing, but like I said, it was his ability to constantly escape pressure that hurt the Seahawks. And without the threat of a barreling down Michael Bennett, who's been a force to be reckoned with as of late, Taylor finished with 289 yards through the air. And they said on the broadcast he's never thrown for 300 yards in a game, and that he almost did that without his top target, Sammy Watkins, who's going to be out for a good chunk of the season going forward, is a bit disconcerting for Seattle. Because despite their ranking and overall performance this season, the defense, and the secondary in particular, has shown major cracks at various points. As I mentioned, they cleaned things up in the second half. They only gave up just the 8 points. But for the most part, Buffalo was able to move the ball at will. They ran 83 plays. They gained 425 yards of total offense. And across the board, Buffalo essentially doubled all of what Seattle had been giving up this season. Now, again, whether it's a one-game scenario where nothing seemed to work, or more specifically, a one-half scenario where nothing seemed to work, whether that's a Monday night thing with the extra day of rest, maybe perhaps Seattle was just a little bit rustier than normal, we don't know, but there have been enough instances this year when watching the defense that you really have to wonder if they put it all together, the secondary and the front seven all at one point, they're going to be dynamic, but they have not done that yet. It's either been the front seven has been on and the secondary has been off, or the secondary has been lights out, but they haven't been able to put pressure on a quarterback. So in a way, it's good that nothing's come together yet because we have not seen the best of Seattle. But it's also now we've reached the halfway point of the season. We've reached the part where you've got to say, okay, you need to figure out who you're going to be. And if this is who Seattle is, where they're essentially half of a unit, that's really a big red flag going forward because the offense is not consistent in any stretch of the imagination. So the defense is going to have to be the unit that really carries them going forward. So they have probably a 4 or 5 game stretch coming up, I would say, where they have to figure out who they're going to be defensively. Are they going to be Seattle units of old? Or are they going to be what they have been so far at the start this year? Inconsistent, dynamic at times, and head-scratchingly bad at others. Now, offensively, Seattle was basically throw it far to Doug Baldwin and Jimmy Graham and get out of the way. And to their credit, it worked just well enough. Graham especially has been a revolution. He had 2 incredible one-handed catches for touchdowns in the first half, where he hurdled a helpless defender on another 15-yard catch, which was... it was really great to see because after he made the catch and run, he went out of bounds and he showed more emotion than he's shown, I would say, his first 2 years here combined. You could tell, and on the broadcast, Gruden said, "Do you think he's finally healthy?" As in, yes, he is, and we've been waiting for it, and Seattle fans have been waiting for it, and we really started to see it come to fruition the last few weeks, but last night was his true coming out party. He is healthy. He understands the offense, and right now Seattle needs him to be their top playmaker, and he's stepping up to the plate. He really has come full circle, I would say, from the player who came into Seattle last year, because that man was a shell of the one who lit it up for New Orleans. This is the guy that they traded for. He would finish with 103 yards on 8 catches. Baldwin caught 6 balls for 89 yards, and perhaps the most impressive part of those two is a combination. Combined, Russell Wilson targeted them 14 times, and they had 14 catches. That reliability is so, so valuable for a quarterback, especially one in Wilson who, right now, has zero running game to fall back on. Seattle was non-existent on the ground, and that is not an exaggeration. Here's their actual full stat line from the running game. Tyler Lockett, 1 rush, 13 yards. Russell Wilson, 3 rushes, 10 yards. C.J. Procise, 3 rushes, 9 yards. And their starting running back, Christian Michael, 5 rushes, 1 yard. Those aren't made-up numbers. These are actual totals from an NFL team, one that over the past decade has actually been fairly potent on the ground. And you wonder, was Marshawn Lynch that good? Was the offensive line that much better last year than they are this year? Or is it a combination of things? What is happening to their running game is really, really scary for Seattle going forward. They got away with it on Monday night somehow. They're not going to get away with it against the Patriots or the Cowboys or the Raiders or whomever they might face in the Super Bowl or on the path to the Super Bowl. Eventually, teams are simply going to load up against Wilson and Jimmy Graham and Baldwin and Kearse. They could do this because there's less than zero threat right now of being burned any other way. The running game has shown glimpses this season of having some life, but for Coach Carroll and Tom Cable, the offensive line coach, they have to look back at this tape and think, we have a real problem going forward. Now, I don't know if you can make a trade at this point or what can be done. You're not going to improve the offensive line overnight, and the running backs are not going to just magically find holes that either aren't there or they're not seeing. Something has to give going forward. After the game, Coach Carroll took the mic.
So if anybody's worried about watching football games, I would think they stayed with this one. This was a good Monday night ball game. What a crazy night out there. Fantastic night here at CenturyLink again. The fans were awesome, and everybody went for it. Both sides, both teams played really hard and aggressive and wide open, and it was a heck of a football game. There's a lot of highlights in this game, a lot of stuff. I'll just let you guys ask the questions. But as always, we remember how hard it is to win games in the league, and these teams are good, and the Bills were tough as hell tonight, and It was a great finish, and fortunately our guys were able to hang on. It's a great moment out there for a defense when you have to stop them and you got to keep them from getting in the end zone, and those plays just keep coming, and any one of those plays could lose the game. And the great tension that's going on and the intensity of that is very special for the players, and that's why they take so much pride in when you get out of there and you win and all that. It's an excellent win. So a lot of cool things. Go ahead, ask your question. What do you want to know?
You said all week, Russell looked better. It sure looked like that out there.
Yeah, I thought Russ really played a terrific football game tonight. I thought Dev called a great game tonight. We went after it in the throwing game tonight, and that's just kind of the way it stayed. We need to get off the field better on defense. You know, you saw that in the third down things that kept us from getting our opportunities. I don't know. We felt like we really could go up and down the field with how we were playing. I was really fired up. Russ did bounce back, got a chance to run one in too as well, and all that, so it's good.
You just played an assumption there late when you called timeouts. You're saving time for the offense, but how much do you think that kept your defense fresh?
No, there was, you know, I know that the bad challenge that I had, I was just hoping. They took a long time right there to get that decision made, and I thought the best part of it was that the guys did get a break, you know, and so the timeouts do help, you're right. Those guys were going to be up there standing and fighting no matter what, but I hope that did help them.
What did you think of Jimmy Graham? Oh,
Jimmy was phenomenal tonight. Gosh, what a game. What an incredible player and competitor and all of that. You know, he just continues. He's got every game is a highlight of his highlight film of catches. You know, and the first one was a one-hander. The guy's pulling his arm out. The second one, it would look like another one-hander, and fortunately we couldn't see what was going on underneath that mess. But he made another great touchdown catch. But that was just some of the stuff. He did a lot of great things tonight. There's nothing more fun than watching a guy hurdle somebody like that, an athlete of that kind of stature. It was an extraordinary play, and so he was phenomenal tonight.
Wilson finished 20 of 26 for 282 yards and two touchdowns. This, to me, was the best he's looked all season. He looked nimble, fluid. Like, the mobility, which had been so limited for the first half of the season, was finally back. He would take the stand as well after the game.
Well, we needed to. We got too many special players not to, and I thought Coach Bevel did a great job calling up the plays tonight, and us being aggressive and also still being smart too, and I thought we did a great job with that. And you got to give tribute to Coach Bevel. I thought he did a great job tonight, and guys making plays, and that's what it comes down to. It comes down to a lot of one-on-one matchups. It comes down to winning football. It comes down to making plays, and like I said, we're really close. You know, like I said, been saying the past few weeks, we're really close to being really special. It's just one game, and we look forward to getting prepared for the next one.
Russell, you hadn't thrown a touchdown since week four. How good was it just break the seal on that and get a few and get the offense rolling?
Yeah, it's always good, you know, but like I always say to you guys, the only thing I care about is winning. You know, that's the only thing that matters. And so, I think that definitely helps. Obviously, more touchdowns, the better. Us running, we've been able to run a few touchdowns down there. I think C-Mike's done, run six this year already, which is really good for us. But we want to be able to get the ball in the true playmaker's hands. You know, we got so many guys. You know, I thought, like I said, Jimmy Graham, Doug Baldwin, Jermaine Kearse can make a lot of special plays out there. Tyler Lockett. You saw Paul Richardson make that big-time catch. I think it was second long, maybe, I believe it was. He made a big-time catch to get us in field goal range, so that was huge. So there's a lot of players out there.
Jimmy was saying you two have kind of been together at the facility every morning. Just what has that experience been like, him having the injury before and now you kind of rehabbing from some stuff?
Yeah, we're there early in the mornings, you know, and we always race each other to see who will get there first. He's a special player. His mindset is tough as nails. He's been through it all, you know, and he can hang with the best of them. So, one of my best friends, but also a great teammate to everyone. You know, he loves the game. He's passionate about the game. He's passionate about doing it right, and he does it right so often. So that's what you love about Jimmy Graham.
You saw what he had to go through to get back from this injury, and how impressive is the way he's playing less than a year from such a serious injury?
Well, just to even think about how well he's playing just from a serious injury. You know, in my opinion, I'm not sure who else is out there, but in terms of a comeback player of the year, I mean, just think about how special he's been, and just make play after play, catch after catch, the catches that he's making, his grit, his ability to overcome situations and obstacles. It's a true testament to the character of man that he is, the person that he is. And we've got so many other guys that have been battling injuries across the board. You know, think about Tyler Lockett. He was finally fresh tonight. You see what he can do on the punt returns and kick returns and catching the football, too. So, he can do a lot of things, too, as well.
The scrambles, the runs, the ability you had to move in the pocket tonight, how close to normal did you feel compared to the games you've played so far this season?
I felt great out there. I felt normal as possible. It felt really strong. It felt quick. Felt fast. I didn't try to push it too much. You know, I tried to be smart. I had one run where I got the first down. I could have probably gone a little bit further. I looked back. I was like, let's go down. I've been in the training room too much. So got down there. I feel really strong and really good.
You had the touchdown run. Talk a little bit. You know, you're talking about running. How satisfying was that for you to get in there?
Well, it's satisfying just because we got a touchdown. I don't really worry about my own personal stats or anything like that. All I really care about, like I said, is winning and playing winning football. And that was the play that was there at the time, and I was able to take advantage of it.
I feel like that, so you're not even thinking about it. It's wide open and away you go.
Pretty much, yeah. If it's there, we'll try to take it, and if not, then we'll hand it off.
33 rushing yards as a team tonight. What's your sense of what's missing in the running game and how you get it on track?
Well, you know, I think we were throwing the ball really well in the first half. You know, I think we were lights out throwing the football. And then the second half, we kind of went back into our way a little bit. That we got in our own personal way. We had some penalties there, so it didn't allow us to run the football the way we wanted to. And so we're going to watch, study the film, figure out where we can get better in the passing game and in the running game, and figure out how we can continue to improve. I think that we're really close. We've had some really good breakout runs in the past. But I think that it really, like I said, it comes down to making sure that we're staying on schedule. And if we can do that, it gives us a really good chance to run it.
After the 31-25 win, here's three things I learned going forward. Seattle's secondary gets many of the headlines, but if the Seahawks are going to make it to the Super Bowl, the linebacking core will actually lead them there. Between Bobby Wagner, KJ Wright, Brock Croyle, these guys are playing out of their minds right now. And when you combine them with guys like Cliff Averill, Frank Clark, and a healthy Michael Bennett up front, the front seven is perhaps the most lethal combination unit in the NFL. Number two, these penalties have to be addressed. They only committed 10 penalties for 75 yards. Those are not outrageous numbers, but it was the style that hurt them, the timing that hurt them. Richard Sherman running into the kicker penalty, which was really a roughing penalty, and they caught a major break, and that came at the end of a bizarre sequence at the end of the first half that the NFL has so much explanations to do on that one. We won't even get into it. But they had the late hit on Tyrod Taylor on the final drive of the game, the offsides penalty on the next play. They survived those last night, but the undisciplined nature at which they played is very, very dangerous, especially when you get into the playoffs and things are called even tighter. Number three, I'm not so sure that the opposition is intimidated by the 12th man like they once were. It seemed to me like the Seattle crowd was in full force Monday night, and even though Sean McDonough and John Gruden tried to play it up, Buffalo seemed unfazed by the environment overall. Now, they did have even more penalty yards than Seattle did, but it didn't seem like there was that intimidation factor that had been so prevalent over the years. And I don't know if the opposition is just getting used to what they bring, if there's an understanding and a better knowledge of what the crowd will bring so teams are able to better prepare for it. Or maybe it was a fluke, but Seattle needs CenturyLink Field to be a viperous pit for them to go as far as they can go in the playoffs. Well, next week, the matchup we've all been waiting for finally comes to fruition. Seattle heads to Foxborough to take on Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. Brady has been the clear-cut MVP despite playing just a handful of games, and the Patriots are still the gold standard for the league. The entire country will be watching this Sunday night showdown. Can Seattle finally put together a complete game both offensively and defensively? They're going to have to, because another performance defensively like they had last night and New England will blow them out of the water. Another offensive performance like the previous couple weeks when they put together 26 combined points and the Patriots will suffocate them. It's been 8 games and the Seahawks have yet to show their full potential. But to me, there's no better place to do it than on a national stage against the best team in the NFL, one that you know they're going to be prepared for. There's no better time for it. Well, that's going to do it here for us. Thanks again for tuning in. I'll be back next Monday for another edition of Hawks Talk here on CSN, talking about that Seahawks-New England matchup. Thanks again for joining us.